As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Jan Haberle, director of the Lord Steiner. Welcome to Issues 2022.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hey, let's start with something cheerful. I understand you're retiring after 17 years at Lord Steiner.
I am.
Tell me about that. How many years as director?
10.
10 years as director. So what did you do before Lord Steiner?
We were in the restaurant business. It was kind of a family business. And it just got to the point in the restaurant business, it's, you know, that's kind of a volatile business.
Oh, gosh.
And we decided we wanted a little more stability. And I saw the ad for volunteer coordinator in the Catholic paper and went and applied. And Wendy said, okay, you're
in. How about that? What's behind your decision to retire?
It's time. I had a milestone birthday. And I thought, you know, that's kind of it. My husband just retired last year. I had to wait. We're celebrating our 20th anniversary at the diner, so I kind of want to wait for that other milestone. So two milestones behind me and ready to go do something else.
Okay. Now, you don't have to answer this if you don't. What are your plans for retirement?
That's the question I get every single day. I think we'll just hang out, spend time, maybe doing a little traveling, hang out with the grandkids, pick them up from school, go to all those school things. We can do that now.
That sounds good. I might join you in about 20 years. So let's talk about the Lord's Diner for a little bit, if you don't mind. How many people does the Lord's Diner actually serve on an average day, Jan?
It's about 2,000 right now. It's changed like everyone's life with the COVID, but we're averaging about 2,000.
2,000 a day, and how many people have you served since the doors opened?
We're not at 7 million yet, but we're about 6.5 million, I think. We've kind of celebrated those million marks through the years and kind of waiting for the 7.
And when did the doors open on Lord's Diner?
February 13th, 2002.
Wow. So, yeah, got an anniversary coming up.
Yeah.
There you go. Now, do you serve many families with children down there?
We do. You know, when we branched out to our food trucks, we have 3 of those now. That's where we see more families. But we do serve quite a few families overall.
What's on the menu?
Today?
I don't know anything. I haven't been there yet.
Yesterday, we had taco salad, which coincidentally is one of the guests' favorite.
I don't doubt that. What other items do you serve, Jan? I'd like to have an idea of what you're serving.
Oh, let's see.
There.
This week, we served turkey with mashed potatoes and corn. A couple of days ago, we had chicken fried steaks with gravy. So it's just kind of home-cooked kind of meals.
And in addition to the original Lord's Diner at Central and Broadway, here in Wichita, there is now, as I understand it, the Lord's Diner on South Hillside, correct?
Yes, yes.
And how long has that been open? Tell me about that.
Oh, gosh, you're going to ask me a hard... It's been almost 10 years, because that opened right as I took the director position. And then we have another fixed site in Pittsburgh. That one's about 5 years old, not quite. No. And then we have the 3 food trucks that are kind of within the last 5 or 6 years, too.
Basically, you're serving the Wichita Diocese then, right?
We are. and that's one of the reasons we went to Pittsburgh. It's part of the Wichita Diocese.
Yeah, it's down in the southeast part of state, but yeah, it's part of the... Now, Tell us about how the Lord's Diner got started, because I know you know the story. Tell me about that.
The story is Bishop Gerber's story. His residence was right across the street from where the diner location is now, and he used to take walks. And then he realized there were several folks, and he befriended a lot of the homeless guys and started taking them into his own kitchen and fixing them a meal, or he'd go down to one of the fast food locations there on Broadway and feed them. I didn't realize, I read something just recently, that he could get up to 50 people every now and then to feed. So when they relocated his residence and he decided he was going to retire soon, he wanted something for those guys that he'd befriended. He wanted to make sure they had a meal at least once a day.
Was it hard to get it started? Or is the idea, we're going to have, they call it a soup kitchen.
Yeah.
It's not very flattering, but it usually when we see something on the wire or something, it's like a soup kitchen. If it is, it's the largest in Kansas, isn't it?
Yes, and it's a beautiful facility. When the diner was created, a lot of construction guys and painters and electricians, they all came together to make it a beautiful facility, and we work hard to keep it that nice facility. So it's not the basement, soup kitchen you see on TV.
Well, and it's nice, and I bet some of those guys volunteered, donated their time, didn't they?
Oh, they did. We started out debt-free, which, for a building that size and scope, it's pretty amazing, the generosity.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay, so where are we at here? I'm talking about the menu, talking about... I had a question about security, because, let's face it, the people you're serving there, some of them, they're pretty rough people. And then how do you handle that? Because I know you have incidents now and then.
Well, actually, when we're talking history, 17 years ago, we didn't have that much. But I think everyone knows the climate of mental illness now and the drug abuse that's out there. And I think some of the mentally ill are using the drugs to cope with their mental illness. But the availability of the drugs and the different drugs, it does make it a little volatile at times. When we serve in the evenings, we have off-duty police officers. And it's kind of a win-win for them because they've befriended the guys, too. And I think they all kind of, get to know each other. And the respect is there between the two.
That's interesting, because just about everybody I talk to on this program, week to week, whether it's the sheriff or the county manager or whoever, talking about the same thing. I was talking about how are we not servicing these people with mental problems because they're showing up.
That's what's hard for us, too. Our mission is just to feed. And no matter how mentally ill they are, they find us every day. But it is hard for us that we can't do more sometimes. I mean, we have a couple of guys that, they can't even really communicate with us. Like I said, they find us to get their meal, but I don't know how they make it day to day.
What is the schedule? What time do you just have one meal, evening meal?
Well, we've kind of branched out this last year. We do have just one evening meal. But we started to get a lot of donations of things that we couldn't necessarily incorporate into the meal. So we opened a morning pantry because we'd see a lot of the homeless guys walking around during the day and they didn't really have access to anything else. Mm-hmm. So in our morning pantry, Monday through Friday, 10 to noon, we offer a snack. Or yesterday we had leftover Costco pizza. It just depends on what those extra donations we are. So we technically do serve an extra bonus meal.
Brings up an interesting point, because my wife, we worked at Friends University several years ago, and they had some sort of a meeting or something, and there were like 20 pizzas left over, and they're in the boxes, they're great. I think we tried to go down and donate them. Do we take something like that?
Yeah, if it's commercially repaired. If it's commercially prepared, we can take it. Unfortunately, we can't take stuff that's been made in the home kitchen, but yeah. We can take it.
Can't take my wife's tuna casserole?
No.
It's delicious.
Does she want to make it for 2,000 people?
Sure.
Bring her down. Well, she can come in and make it there.
Quiet question. What about these food trucks now? How many? You got three?
Yes.
Where do they go? Just the general?
Our first truck we researched on an area of need. We kind of worked with the Kansas Food Bank, and they helped us decide an area of need. And the Evergreen Recreation Center, their staff was the first to step up and say, hey, we know some kids over here that really could benefit from a meal. So that was our first truck, and that went really well. And then the Dear Neighbor Ministries, operated by the Sisters of St. Joseph, came to us for the Hilltop neighborhood. And it's a pretty low, it's a high poverty level. So we went there pretty quickly afterwards. And then we'd always kind of wanted to go to the northeast part of the part of town, because we knew that was a high poverty level area. So that's our third truck, is kind of close to WSU at the Atwater Recreation Center.
I'm going to guess you're keeping a pretty close track on some of that's been going on recently about food deserts and availability of nutritional food for people in certain areas. I mean, I'm in Riverside, and I have to drive up to a mile sometimes. And darn. I think I'm really put out. But that's part of it, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that's why we're unique in that we offer a meal already prepared, and you just have to come and, you know, take that meal. We like families to come, and, you know, that way they can go home and eat as a family and don't have to come to that soup kitchen. But so it's worked out really well.
Mm-hmm. I talked about food deserts. You're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Jan Haberle, director of the Lord's Diner. I am a little discombobulated this morning, ladies and gentlemen, because this is the first time we've done an in-studio interview for Issues in at least a couple of years.
No.
Because of the pandemic. But we let you in the door today. Don't tell the boss, because I'll be in trouble.
I don't think the boss will find out.
Okay. Well, your webpage says you're running the free food drive. Know about that. What kind of meals do they serve? The same thing you're doing at downtown?
Yeah, it's usually all the meals are prepared at the downtown Broadway location. So most days, every location has the same meal.
You know, Jan, you touched on this earlier, but can you tell us, give us a general statement about the impact of the COVID pandemic on your operation? Did you ever have to need to shut it down at all?
We've never shut, in 20 years, we've never shut down completely, even today when the blizzard's going on. But we're doing to-go meals only. And it's really difficult in that we don't have that one-on-one relationships like we used to. It's like our guests, you know, if you had folks coming over to your house for dinner, you know, to sit down at the table with them and enjoy the meal is one thing. But to have them come to your front door and hand them a to-go meal, it's really difficult.
How did the pandemic impact your core of volunteers? They're very important to you, I know.
They are, and it's changed things dramatically. We'd love to get going again and have all of our volunteers back, but you know, they kind of had a cycle or a schedule of every Wednesday I volunteer at the diner, and I think we've gotten off of some folks' radar as far as a regular schedule of volunteering. So we used to use up to 60 a day. Now we're down to probably about 20-something.
Okay, so you're saying you need some.
Yes, we will.
Well, this is your opportunity.
It's
to invite people to come down. They're getting the impression possibly that this is just a Catholic deal.
Nope.
You have to be a Catholic to be a volunteer?
Oh, absolutely not. I think over half of our volunteers are from businesses and organizations and other churches, other faiths.
Okay.
And that's great. You know, it's just very welcoming to have all that diversity in our building.
That was my next question. Who are your volunteers? What sort of businesses do they come from?
Let's see. Cargill's always been really good to us. Dold Foods is a group that comes. Simpson Construction has a group that comes. So it's pretty varied as far as the different organizations.
You throw out an invitation like that, you could get anybody. You could get somebody like me.
That would be great. Every day almost, not quite, but I hear the volunteers will say, I get more out of this than I give. So right there's the good.
Well, what I'm pointing to is that do you have to receive a lot of training? Because
nope.
I'm not really good with that.
You know, it's just a real quick, actually you do it online now as a food handler's class, just to make sure we don't give anybody any kind of funny diseases. So
welcome to the modern world, you do it online.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and that's a real quick little class. And then there's one other little safety class we do, and otherwise just come on down. It's really nice because families can come together. Kids have to be 12 with their parent or guardian, but, you know, it's fun to see families coming and volunteering together.
All right. So when you think about your time at the Lord's Diner, what gives you the most satisfaction? What makes you proud or glad that you've spent so much time with the Lord's Diner?
Oh, well, other than my family, it's some of the best times I've had in my life. You know, I've never to be exposed to that many different people from all walks of life, from all challenges of life. It's really been a blessing and something I've enjoyed. And I think as much as anything, the amazement of the generosity. I mean, it's the generosity of the Wichita and Pittsburgh communities, and it may, you know, go outside those areas, but the generosity of folks is really amazing. I think we're a non-political nonprofit, you know, nobody wants anybody to go to bed hungry. And that's something that can touch all of us because we can all relate to that. So the Lord's Diner kind of, you know, represents itself in that.
The the use of the volunteers, which is, again, on this show, we do a lot of talking with people who use volunteers. Give us your comments on volunteerism in Wichita. I mean, I have an impression, and I'm hearing from other people, but how are we as volunteers in this town?
As far as I've heard from other agencies and whatnot, it's amazing, and folks in Wichita are very giving and kind and loving even and compassionate. So, yeah, it's a strong community for volunteering.
I want to talk a little bit more about the mental health aspect of what's going on with people who are homeless and most of the people you're talking to. And as I said, we talk about this the last three or four shows. They're talking about going to Topeka, maybe getting some dollars to come in here and find some beds for these people and maybe even creating a facility here. Talk about that for a little bit.
There's a lot of folks in this in Wichita and surrounding communities that are working on it and thinking about it. There's actually a coalition. Pete and the Sedgwick County Commission are looking at ways to help. Humankind Ministry, which does a lot of housing, they're looking at some options. Union Rescue Mission. I think all of them are trying to come together and come up with some options for those that are suffering from mental illness.
We're hearing that the largest mental health facility in the state is now the Sedgwick County Jail. in terms of the number of people.
It's true. When we have, a guy that's having a difficult day, that's who we have to rely on is the officers. I mean, they have teams of officers that kind of know how to deal with these guys, but sometimes their only option is to take them to the jail. Yep. And, we went to court. We had a kid that did a little bit of vandalism, and we had to go to court, and the judge was frustrated because he had nothing he could do for this young man. His option was to keep him in jail, and that's kind of sad.
It's kind of overcrowded too, because they have a backlog in this court now too. We talk about the people that you have come into contact over the years, and earlier in the interview we talked about, I think, some of the negative impacts of security and so forth, but tell me about one or two people or families you've run into that really impressed you that have a good story to tell.
There were years we served this one gentleman when we had the doors open and he'd come in, and nicest man. And then over the last several months, we've been serving this young man. And come to find out, this young man is the son of this other guest that we have. So it's just kind of that they came together. And hopefully when we get opened again, they can sit down and have a meal together. So that was kind of, we also had a very interesting guest that just recently passed away. He just literally dropped dead on the street, but he was feisty and ornery, and we enjoyed his antics, and he had crushes on all the young girls. And he actually, come to find out, had a family and he had an actual funeral, which for the homeless, that doesn't happen very often.
They're just lost sometimes. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, lost is the good word.
Talk about families a little bit, because I hear of people living out of their cars, and you see some success stories nationally, prominent athletes, and people say, yeah, we were living out of a car at one time. I can't imagine.
That term.
I can't imagine.
That's
that.
What, that old term, for the grace of God.
Yeah.
Things could turn around on folks. We had a gentleman that, he was divorced. He didn't have that great a job. The child support and alimony just ate him up. So he had no other recourse. But so he joined us every night just to try and make ends meet. And the other day at the pantry, the 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock pantry, a young mom came up and she had three little ones, and we'd never seen her before, but she was on the verge of tears when she walked up. So we gave her, the food for the kids. And luckily a friend of ours had given me some McDonald's gift cards to give to the kids. So we were able to do that. And another gentleman came before Christmas and gave me a little bit of cash to give to moms, to single moms, because I think he knew that story himself. And so I was able to give her a little bit of money and some McDonald's gift cards, and you would have thought I gave her $1,000. She was in tears. She was so grateful. And I kind of think God sent her to us that day.
I think a lot of people have they look at them and say, why should they be treated like that? They got every opportunity I have. Why don't they just go out and get a job? They don't deserve help. Tell me about that word deserve, which I think is loaded with possibilities.
It is a loaded word. I think you have to walk a mile in their shoes, to use another phrase. you know, my dad had a job. He was home every day. My mom wasn't in jail or on drugs. I mean, some of these folks grew up with horrible conditions. And who helped them turn it around? No one. You know, they maybe had a teacher or a mentor, and some of them got it turned around. But they didn't have a good start.
Yep. It's a good positive mission you're doing down there. And we wish you the best with it. What about, I want to ask you a question about, and we talked about the number of people. And we talked about what your biggest challenges are, right? We talked about what you like the best, right? I'm just covering all my notes here to make sure I haven't missed anything. What have I missed? What should I talk about now? This is the part where I turn the interview over to you because I've run out of questions.
Man, talk about being on the spot. You know, I think we have covered most everything. I think the staff is something we haven't covered.
Oh, yeah. Should I talk about them?
Those are folks that, you know, give. And most of them there for the mission. As you know, a nonprofit, folks don't make a lot of money. So, you know, they're there to serve. And we have one of our cooks he's so conscientious and makes sure those meals are good and tasty. And he talk about cooking. He cooks by taste. He doesn't measure, and he's cooked things before for different, you know, folks, and they want the recipe, and he doesn't have any recipes. It's all by taste and look and just experience.
Does he ever burn anything?
No, you know, when he first started, he got smushy rice. Yeah, I don't know if he overcooked it, undercooked it, and he said he will never let that happen again, and he's been at the diner for 17 years, and I don't think we've had smushy rice again.
All right. Now, the tough part. I'm going to ask you a little bit more about yourself. Where'd you grow up? Where are you from?
I'm from Wichita. Grew up over by Friends University.
Okay. And was it a rough childhood? Were you poor and poverty-stricken and you had to walk to school 8 miles uphill and all that, or what?
Pretty much. No, it was a typical, you know, middle-class upbringing.
So when you were a kid growing up near Friends University, I'm familiar with the neighborhood, did you envision that you would ever be, well, running a soup kitchen?
No, and I think that was another God thing. Like I said, we were kind of finished with the restaurant business, and what do we do next? But I just really had a desire to give back, to do something meaningful. I mean, I'd always served people, but serving folks that, you know, really needed it more so is something.
Did you own and operated a local restaurant?
Yes.
Right. Now, I'm not going to ask you where it was or what it was, but I know from my in-laws that is a tough business. There are people who get into that all the time, think, and they find out in a hurry. You can't walk away from it. It's kind of like when you're on the farm and you have to milk the cows every day.
Yeah.
Well, you have to have the customers every day, and you got to be there, right?
Right. And, you know, there's things that are beyond your control. You know, the change in the city, the change in, you know, people's lives, and you're kind of volatile.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you for coming into the studio and doing this in person. It's like I said, I haven't done an in-person interview with anybody for 2 years, but what's ahead for the diner? What do you think's in the future? And I know this is not your deal because you're going to leave. You can just walk away. But what, they got any big plans for the future?
Opening up our dining rooms is, you know, the major plan, because we're still serving to-go meals.
Oh,
so
okay.
The end of COVID and getting back to our normal. Bishop Gerber's vision was to you know, serve folks with respect and dignity, and we're still maintaining that, but it'll feel so much nicer to welcome them into our dining room.
I should say for our listeners that we're recording this on the morning when it's snowing, and it's going to get about 8 inches of snow, and it is colder than you know what, and this is a time when I worry about those people out there that you're serving, because it's tough. Have they got places to go to get inside, though?
I mentioned Humankind Ministries earlier, and they have a shelter, a winter shelter, that opens from November to March, and folks can go in there during the nighttime. And I think a day like today, they'll let them stay a little longer. And we help those folks out with meals, you know, when the guys are down there. It's not too far from the diner, but it's kind of a joint effort. We all kind of come together to make sure that, and I think the Wichita Hot team goes around and makes sure the guys know where the shelters are and make sure they know where they can get in out of the cold.
What's a hot team?
It's a homeless outreach team for the Wichita.
Now that's a police officer?
Yeah,
and
Wichita.
What else?
It's just the Wichita Police Department. I think at one time they had an EMT with them and maybe a social worker.
Yeah, but now they're back to just the police officer?
I can't speak to that.
Okay.
Not positive.
Yeah, that's another interview. You don't have to know that.
But, you know, they're out there trying to make sure everybody knows where to go.
Okay, so And next month, you'll be in the Bahamas. After that, you'll be in Europe. And
you know, we have no desire to go out of the country. We want to see this country. Oh. We want to see the United States.
Oh, you said you got to see Europe.
You think? Yeah,
it's really neat.
Okay.
Got some great cathedrals over there.
Yeah, you. I'm sure it would be. You know, we've had an opportunity to go with the diocese before, but just haven't been able to do it.
Jan, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. We appreciate everything the Lord's Diner does, and we appreciate your career down there. Thank you so much for being with us this week. Our guest is Jan Haverly, director of the Lord's Diner. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.